In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst. The disciples of Christ could not cast out the demon because they had faith, but their faith was in their head. It had not yet taken root in their hearts, their hearts, which needed to be worked by prayer and fasting. As Christ said, this kind only goes out but by prayer and fasting, a working of the heart through prayer and fasting. Our faith, the movement of our life in Christ, is a movement from the head to the heart, from the head to the altar of the heart, the throne of the heart, the place of Christ's enthronement, from the mind to the center of our being, the heart. That's not fuel to our critics who say that our faith is anti-intellectual, is unthinking. No, we have to work things out in our minds to understand the doctrines, the essential teachings, to figure things out, the basic concepts of our Christian orthodoxy. In the world, we'd rather we believe in life as absurdity and meaninglessness and random nothingness. We encourage the doubters to rethink their position and to use their minds. But having thought through and worked things out up here in our head, there comes the movement from here, to the heart, a uniting of the mind in the heart. And the heart not just as the seat of emotion, but the very center of our being. Outside of Orthodoxy, outside of this, the original church, the various alternative expressions of Christianity do tend to swing either to exaggerated intellectualism or to exaggerated emotion, from head faith to heart faith. And we are called to hold it all together. But again, the heart as the center of our being, as the center of our willpower, of our strength, of our desire and action. Growing up in the neighborhood, kids would say to one another, "You have no heart." No heart as in a dare, as a challenge to one's courage. So the heart also is the seat of our courage, the vector, the direction of our life, of our soul. The Holy Scriptures, brothers and sisters, call us to attention in our hearts and call attention to the heart. From Proverbs we read, Son, give me thy heart and let thine eyes observe my ways, says God to us. Again, O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. An understanding heart. See, an understanding heart is more than just feeling or emotion. It's a heart informed by understanding, but not devoid of feeling either. Again, from Proverbs, apply the heart to instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The issues of life, the direction of our life, heart-driven, heart-guided. Again from Proverbs, a sound heart is the life of the flesh. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. From the Psalms, I keep thy precepts with my whole heart. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. from the New Testament, St. Paul encourages the Christians as servants of Christ to do the will of God from the heart. And from in Ephesians 6:6, and from singleness of heart, Colossians 3:3. And from our Lord Jesus Christ himself, right? Where your treasure is, right? There will your heart be also. We remember today in the church, it being the leave-taking of Ascension. We also remember St. Tikhon of Zadonsk, great Russian father of the 18th century. He says, take no greater care than to correct your will and inward disposition. In this consists all the power of Christian piety. He says, all outwardness without inwardness is nothing. All outwardness, all outward activity without some inward integrity is nothing. Whatever is not inside the heart does not exist in actual fact. Whatever is not inside the heart does not exist in actual fact. Virtue is not true virtue when it is not within the heart, says St. Tikhon. Therefore, correct your heart and your will, and you shall be good, and your outward deeds will be good, for the inward is the beginning of the outward. When evil is not in the heart, then it will not appear outwardly. The hands will not do evil, the feet will not walk toward evil, the tongue and lips will not speak evil, the eyes will not look upon evil, and so on, when the will and the heart do not desire it. And thus pure streams flow from a spring, when the source itself is pure. Likewise, good works come forth from the heart when the heart is good. But there cannot be good works without a good heart, just as there from a putrid and filthy spring, nothing else can flow but putrid and filthy water. Therefore, correct your heart and will, and you shall be good, you shall be a true Christian, you shall be a new creature, for all good or evil is from the will and from the heart. When the heart and the will are good, then the whole person is good. St. Paisius says we have to work our heart, to work our heart, to work our heart with unceasing prayer, the prayer of Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. He says then when our physical strength gives out later in life, our inner heart and prayer will stay strong. He says when a person accustomed to working his heart becomes ill or is elderly and his body can no longer labor, then the heart forces the body to work. He is like a beaten up old car with flat tires and a broken axle, but whose engine still works. He just gives himself a push and off he goes. Working the heart when the body's breaking down. But that has to start in our youth. He says, because a young, strong man, on the other hand, who doesn't work the heart, is like a brand new car whose engine won't start. And so he cannot proceed. To him, doing even the smallest thing seems like having to scale a mountain. And finally, St. Paisius says, if a person does not work the heart, he is not even like an animal. He becomes a lifeless statue. His heart is useless. Metropolitan Athanasius of Cyprus, the Father Maximus of the writings of Kyriakos Markidis, in the book Inner River says this. He says, according to the tradition of the church, the healing of fallen humanity presupposes a return to our natural state, the way we were originally created by God. Adam and Eve in paradise were in constant contemplation of God. That was the sole activity of their hearts and minds. They lived in a state of uninterrupted memory and awareness of their Creator. This meant that humanity in its pre-fallen state had a continuous communion with God's grace. And Metropolitan continues, as a consequence of this ceaseless contemplation of God, human beings were the beneficiaries of God's divine love and of every other gift that this state implies. This is how the original humans lived in the Garden of Eden. This is our divine endowment, which lies dormant in the depths of our being. We are invited to restore in our hearts and minds our natural state, that is, to be in continuous contemplation of God. The fall interrupted this connection with our Creator. Our nous, our heart, or the core and center of our consciousness, was scattered on things of this world and away from the continuous divine contemplation. The image of God within us was torn apart. He says, but God is the great healer, offered us the medicine that we need to enable us to return to our original healthy condition. He offered us this one overarching commandment: thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That is, your entire existence and focus should be directed towards the love of God. The love of God, brothers and sisters, the focus of our heart, the love of God as it was in the garden, as it was in the beginning. We're trying to get back to our original state, which was our great gift of endowment, the great blessing that was given to us. And when we go into our heart, we find there the Lord waiting for us. Elder Thaddeus of Serbia said, God is at the center of every person's life. He is in our heart, whether we accept him or not. So the Lord is there. He's on the throne. He's on the altar. Tabor is not only on the mountain, but is here within us. The elder said, God never separates himself from us because he is the giver of life, who gives life to every created being. He says, we have buried him. We have buried God with our worries and worldly cares, which destroy the peace within us. And that is why we have no peace or rest. No one on earth can give us unshakable inner peace. Money cannot give us peace, neither can fame, nor honor, nor high-ranking position, nor even our closest friends and family. The only giver of peace and life is the Lord. Is the Lord. He gives peace, stillness, and joy to the angels and the saints, and to us and to every created thing. Therefore, we must repent and return to the Lord. And brothers and sisters, when we return to the Lord, we're returning to our own heart, to our own center, to find the core, to find the essence of our own self, what makes us tick, where we live in the heart, that we might offer all of our being, all of our strength to God, that we might seek the kingdom of God which is within us. From again, finally from the Psalms, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to Jesus Christ. Glory to God.